Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alvaton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
I stand and cast a wishful light to Canaan's fair and happy land, where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Now I think I know why they don't have a soundtrack of bluegrass underneath prayer time. Kind of get a little speed, how the micro machine man praying there. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I wonder, as you turn there, do you have a bucket list of destinations that you would like to one day before you die to see? You know, those places that you've never been, but you really, 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 really would like to go. Maybe you've set your sights on Hawaii. Or maybe it's the Grand Canyon or Yellowstone or Mackinac Island or maybe an Alaskan cruise. Or maybe a New England road trip in the fall. That would be kind of cool. Or maybe that bucket list destination would take you to a different country, to Europe or to Africa or to Asia. You know, just last night, my mom and dad and Christy and I, we were beginning to make plans for a fall break trip to the Gulf to let our kids experience the ocean and the beach and all those good things. And, of course, this week coming up being spring break for Allen County and Warren County, Bowling Green City Schools, all those things, folks have already headed out or will be heading out soon to places all over the map. Planet Earth, guys, is a big and beautiful planet, isn't it? I mean, think about all the places you could go, all the beauty that you could take in. I mean, it would take a lifetime, literally, to take it all in. It has lots and lots of places for you to experience, to enjoy, to explore. There are lots of historic, fun, exotic places to set your sights on. But I wonder this morning, where are you ultimately heading? Where are you ultimately, in the end, where are you bound for? What destination have you ultimately set as your sights? Now, God, in His Word, has told us about this place called heaven. This place called heaven, it should be at the top of our list. And I pray this morning, may it never be that you make it to every place on planet Earth that you've set your sights on, but miss heaven. Guys, listen to me. That's one place you definitely do not want to miss. Here's today's takeaway. Today's takeaway for this message is set your sights on the promised land of heaven that God has prepared for you. This morning we're kicking off a short series here in the month of April called The Trip of a Lifetime, centered around the doctrine of heaven and the hope of heaven. And today's message is entitled, just as that bluegrass song that kicked us off there, I'm bound for the promised land. Now perhaps the phrase the promised land, it brings to mind to you the Old Testament. It brings to mind that land there that God had promised to Abraham and his descendants, that strip of land on the west of the Mediterranean, or on the east of the Mediterranean there by the Jordan River and the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, that strip of land right there when you hear the word promised land. But guys, in the New Testament, God makes it clear that the promised land is not merely an earthly promise, but more importantly, a heavenly promise. And perhaps no text makes that more clear than our text this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 16. I want to invite you to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God this morning. Hebrews 11, 8 through 16. I love the book of Hebrews. I love the book of Hebrews because it's so good at blending the old covenant promises with the new covenant reality. Let's look at what it says here. Verse 8, Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to a place, to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they're seeking a homeland. If they'd been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, then they would have opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Let's pray together. Father, we pray you would open your word to us, God. We want to see it. We want to understand it, God. We want to love it, and then we want to go live it. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray you would work in our midst. Father, again, for the one that does not know Christ, I pray that today as we begin to talk about heaven, that you would stir in them, that they would set their sights on the promise of heaven and receive it by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Grab your seat this morning. So I wonder, guys, as you come here to this text, do you see how God here is linking the idea of the promised land to heaven? Do you see that there? So this morning, I'm calling you to set your sights on the promised land of heaven that God has prepared for you. And our text gives us three reasons why you should do this and why I should do this. And the first reason is this, is that the promised land of heaven is God's inheritance to his people. The promised land is God's inheritance to his people. Can you imagine this week getting news that a long-lost relative that maybe you didn't even know had died and left you a ton of money? Well, that happened to a pair of these penniless brothers. I mean, they were paupers. They inherited a share of $4 billion after this strange twist in their family. Their names were Zolt and Giza Pilati. They were so poor that they lived in a cave. They didn't even live in a house. They were so poor they were living in a cave outside of Budapest, Hungary. And to make a little money, they would sell scrap metal that they found on the streets for pennies. And so they learned all of a sudden, one day they got news. They had this person in a homeless shelter, the directors of this homeless shelter that they had worked with over the years, had gotten news. Lawyers had called the shelter to tell them that these two men had come into a great inheritance. Their maternal grandmother was filthy rich, and that she had died in Baden-Württemberg, Germany. And the crazy thing is, guys, is that they had no idea that such an inheritance was coming to them. They didn't even know their grandmother, and they hadn't even talked to their mom in years. And one of the brothers said this. He said, "We knew our mama came from a wealthy family, but she was a difficult person and had severed ties with them, then later abandoned us, and we lost touch with her and our father until she eventually died." And then here comes this news that they were receiving their grandmother's inheritance. Man, what a surprise. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, I know y'all don't like surprises, but could you at least make an exception for one like that? Amen? We could take one like that. But something similar happened here, guys, in our text to Abraham in the Old Testament. You see, Abraham was living in the land of Ur, the land of the Chaldeans, and he was getting by just fine. I mean, he was living life. He was growing his family, his livestock, all those things, and he was fine. He had no idea, though, that God was about to lay some news on him of this great inheritance that was on the way to Abraham. Genesis 12, verse 1, 2, and 3 says this. Now the Lord said to Abram, which was Abraham's name before God changed it. Abram means father. Abraham means father of many. And so the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I'll show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you'll be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so God coming and giving this news and the prospect of this inheritance, it stirred Abraham's heart so much that he packed up his family and his possessions and he headed out for the promised land to receive his inheritance. And we read right here in our text, Hebrews 11, verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place where he was to receive as an inheritance. Father, beloved, when you think about our Father, we have a good Father, don't we? We do. We have a good Father. He loves us. He's crazy about us. He's committed to us, not because we're good ourselves, not because we've earned it, not because we're something special, right? In fact, guys, if you think about it, we're not good. We've earned God's, not his love, but God's wrath, right? We're nothing special, yet God loves us. God loves us, and through Christ, he has worked to adopt us into his family. He's good. He's great. He's gracious. He's glorious. And we could go on and on with just G's describing our God. But not only is our Father, not only is he good, he also has great means, man. Our daddy is filthy, stinking rich, right? He's wealthy beyond imagination. Everything belongs to him. Everything belongs to him. Psalm 24, verse 1 says that the earth is the Lord's and all the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. All of creation, guys, even to the uttermost reaches of the solar system, even going further to the ends of the universe, belong to our God. And when you couple his goodness with his great means, he has a desire to share. Amen. Say, I'm glad God shares. Amen. I'm glad God shares. Absolutely. He's not greedy. He doesn't hoard his riches. He longs to share his riches. And it comes to you and me in the form of an inheritance. It's a gift passed on from father to child. But this inheritance that was given to Abraham, guys, we have to realize it was not just an earthly inheritance. I mean, the text helps us see that clearly, right? Sometimes when we think about Abraham and the promise, we get so caught up on the physical promised land, that strip right there between Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. We get so caught up into that. But notice here, it was way more than the strip of land. Because when he got there, guess what he had to do? Abraham had to live in tents, other makeshift dwellings. The promise, you see, had a heavenly element to it. Look at verse 10, Hebrews 11, 10. Hebrews 11, 10. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations. He was living in a tent. He didn't have a foundation. Whose designer and builder is God. Now, Abraham might not have been able to verbalize it the way we would put it today, but Abraham was looking forward to heaven. God had promised to provide an inheritance to him and to all of his offspring, and you and I are part of those who receive that inheritance as well through Jesus Christ. Whether or not you're a physical Jew or not, if you are in Jesus Christ, you are a spiritual Jew. You've been grafted into Israel. All the promises given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the patriarchs, are given to you through Jesus Christ, the offspring of Abraham. He said that he was going to bless all the nations of the earth through Abraham's seed. And that seed is Jesus Christ. And when we come to faith in Christ, we get everything that God promised to Abraham. Galatians 3, 7 through 9 helps us to understand this. Paul there writes, God through Paul writes, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all
the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Abraham's blessings from God become our blessings from God through Jesus Christ. Abraham's inheritance becomes our inheritance through Jesus Christ. Guys, the prospect of an inheritance, that stirred Abraham's heart. So much so that he was willing to leave everything that he knew, everything that he held dear. I mean, it was his house, it was home, it was his land, his family, his friends, all that. He was willing to give it up to go chasing after this promise, this inheritance that God had given him. I wonder, does that promise stir you up? The promise of an inheritance, that God has given you something great. And it can be yours today through Jesus Christ. The promised land of heaven is God's inheritance to his people. And by faith in Christ, you become his people. So set your sights on the promised land of heaven that God has prepared for you. That's the first reason. The second reason why we should do that is that the promised land of heaven is entered into through hope and faith. The promised land of heaven is entered into through hope and faith. Every trip you ever go on is filled with hope and faith. Every trip, it doesn't matter where you're going. If you're going to Walmart today, it's filled with hope and faith, right? You hope to arrive where you're going. There are 1,000 things that could go wrong, right? 1,000 things. The further the trip, the more things could go wrong, and your hope is not realized until you get there. I can say today, I hope to go to Walmart, but I don't actually realize that hope, right? It's not actually come to pass until I actually get there. But faith is there as well. Faith is always at work as well. Think about this. You have to have faith that that truck or that van or that car or that plane will get you to where you're going and not break down along the way. That's why we sometimes rent vehicles when we're about to take a trip, right? We're thinking, I don't know about this, my old clunker. I mean, it's good enough to go back and forth to Walmart, but not to Washington, D.C. or wherever else, right? And so there's faith there working as well. You know, when Christy and I married, she planned an amazing trip to the Bahamas. I mean, it was an amazing trip. I mean, for our honeymoon. If it was left up to me, we'd have probably stayed at the Wigwam Village, right, sweetheart? I mean that's how daring I am. You know, it's like, Bahamas sounds a little far, a little dangerous maybe. I mean, it's a different, you know, I mean, just, oh, it's an island, you gotta fly? I don't know about that. But she had planned this wonderful vacation, this wonderful honeymoon, and we had really high hopes. Really, really high hopes. And so, we spent our honeymoon night down in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, at a bed and breakfast, and we stayed one more night as well. And so July 3rd is when we were supposed to fly out for the Bahamas. The only problem was that the rickety alarm clock in the bed and breakfast didn't work. And we didn't know that until we woke up on June 3rd and said, ah! Hurry, get ready! We've missed the flight, get ready! And we were scrounging around, running like crazy. We got there, we had missed our flight, and Christy went to work trying to get the ticket clerks to work with us, the ticket agents and all that stuff, but the airline agent wasn't moved one bit. Our hopes to making it to the Bahamas that day, they weren't looking good. But did you know that a newly wed bride's tears are like WD-40 to a rusty bolt? They just are, man. I mean, Christy began to cry right there at the ticket counter. I mean, everybody's like, what in the world is going on? She's crying right here. And what looked immovable suddenly began to loosen up. Things began to happen. Right, and before we knew it, they had us a flight to Miami where we could hit this other flight and go over to Freeport. And we had hope again. Although we had hope, I had little faith because it was my first airplane ride ever. And I've told you, I don't even like to stand on a ladder, much less get up in an airplane. And so I was nervous, but I got on the big plane that took us to Miami, and then we got there, and I saw this little bitty puddle jumper that's going to have to take us from Miami to I don't even know where. I mean, I don't even know where the Bahamas is, you know? I mean, come on, where are you taking me? And as I finally got up enough courage, although I'd already had in my mind the headline in the Bowling Green Daily News about the sweet newlywed couple that died in the plane crash on their way to their honeymoon in the Bahamas, all right? Nevertheless, she said, no, we're going. So, yes, ma'am. So we got on the plane, and we made it there. We finally made it to our destination. I worked up enough faith to get on that plane, and our hope was finally realized. And our faith, no matter how small it was, carried us to our destination. And so I say to you this morning, guys, every trip is filled with hope and faith. As you set your sights on the promised land, it's going to take hope, it's going to take faith to get you there. Because there are days it's going to be like, are we ever going to get there? Is it really going to happen? God, is heaven really real? When you think about faith, guys, golly, look at Abraham. Look at verse 8. Abraham 11:8, or Hebrews 11:8 here. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And look here, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. He had no idea where God was taking him. He had never been to Canaan. He had never seen Canaan. He'd probably never even heard of Canaan. But Abraham had hope in the promise of God that's spurting forward, and faith that resided in the God who had promised. The God who had promised. But even when he got there, guys, the promised land didn't look like much. He was going for the resort, and he found the desert. You know what I'm saying? Abraham spent his life basically camping out. I mean, it says right here, he lived in tents. That's what he was doing. Not only that, the promised land didn't even become his. He had to live as a foreigner in the land of Canaan. Look at verse 9, Hebrews 11, 9. By faith, he went out to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him to the same promise. But the hope never died. You see, God had promised to bring about Abraham's inheritance. And there were bumps all along the way. And just like in your life, guys, God has given you a promise, the promise of heaven. He's taking you there. And there's going to be hope. There's going to be hills and bumps and hills and valleys and all these things along the way. And you're going to wonder, will we ever get there? And even Abraham's life, we get spelled out more, some of the hills and the valleys that Abraham had to go through. Verse 12 mentions that God had promised to make Abraham's descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. But what do we know about his wife, Sarah? She was barren. They had tried for years to have children, and she couldn't. And then he said, you know what? She said, here, just take my handmaiden, take my servant, and see if you can have kids with her. I think that was Sarah's trick to try to see whose fault it was. But nevertheless, yeah, turns out she was the one that couldn't conceive. It was her, because Abraham had no trouble conceiving with Hagar. And eventually, Sarah surpassed the child-bearing years and had no hope of bearing a child. In fact, when God visited them in the camp, she laughed when the angel of the Lord told her that she would have a kid by this time next year. She laughed. She laughed. And then even Abraham, verse 12 says that the dude was as good as dead. That means he was old, man. He had one foot in the grave. He was worn out. He was used up. But although Abraham and Sarah's, although their faith faltered at a time or two, God came through. Look at verse 11 and 12. Hebrews 11 and 12. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Who had promised, guys? God had. God had. Therefore, from one man, that's Abraham, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. That's telling me, guys, you say, I don't understand how heaven could exist. I mean, I see all this right here. I see all this stuff here, and I can touch it and taste it and smell it and all my senses. I can see this. But I can't even imagine this place called heaven. It seems so otherworldly. It's so different. I mean, I just don't think it's possible. And God says back to you, all things are possible with God. God can do it, and He has done it. He has done it. But along the way, as you go to that place that God has prepared for you, there's a lot of anguish along the way, right? Even then, when they got the promise of Isaac, which his name means laughter, by the way, when they got the promise of Isaac, there was still anguish there, right? They only got to see a portion of the promise. Abraham and Sarah and their son Isaac and Isaac's son Jacob, according to verse 13, look at it. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. That means, guys, they got just a glimpse of it. They got just a taste of it, just as we sang a moment ago, right? Just a taste of heaven. They had just enough in their life and on planet earth that they knew that God had something better coming for them. They got a taste of the promise that was to come. But it was hope and faith that carried them through to the end of their life, where they then made it to the promised land of heaven. Guys, it was through hope and faith that they entered in. And I say to you this morning, guys, it's still through hope and faith that we enter in, right? It's not a different way. We all, Abraham as well, we all enter in through faith and hope in the hand of God. Hebrews 11:1 tells us now faith. Here's the definition of faith. How would you define it, Ben? Well, God defined it for us. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Guys, you've never seen heaven. And you don't know anybody that's seen heaven apart from the folks that write these heaven tourism books that you should never, ever read, by the way. No one has seen heaven, yet by faith, you have a hope. And that hope is not grounded in some just chasing the wind. It's grounded in a God who can do all things and in a God who has promised. And it's faith by which you enter in. If you're here this morning and you have the hope of heaven, listen to me very closely. If you're here this morning and you have the hope of heaven, that hope is only realized by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only way that your hope of heaven is made possible, all right? So if you're here today and you say, man, I want to go to heaven someday, but you're going to try to go on a different route. You're going to try to go in through your own goodness or through another religion, or you're just going to try to just hope that God changes his mind or whatever else, guys. No. Your hope of heaven is only a real hope if you repent and believe in Jesus Christ. If you place your faith in Jesus Christ, there is no other way to heaven. Faith in Christ, faith in God who promised. And here's the good news today. The gospel of Jesus Christ says this: your hope can be made real today if you'll come to Christ. Repent and believe on Jesus. Today, you can have an assurance, it says here, of heaven. So set your sights on the promised land of heaven that God has prepared for you. And then the final reason that you should do this, the final reason you should set your sights on the promised land of heaven that God's prepared for you, is finally, the promised land of heaven is a better land than this land. Amen? Come on. I know America's good. I know Bowling Green's good. I mean, if I wanted to pick anywhere to live, I don't think I'd pick anywhere else. I'm happy here. But the hope of heaven, the promised land of heaven, is better than this land. Abraham, he had it good in Ur. He had no reason at all to leave Ur until God came and said, "Brother Abraham, I got something better for you. Come on." And Abraham picked up all he had and began to follow God to this place, this promised land. He was called to something better. And I say to you today, guys, you are called to something better as well. Now, we'll get into the series here as we flesh all this out, right? Heaven will one day be earth, right? God is coming to make all things new, right? We go to heaven in the meantime, in the intermediate phase. And one day in the resurrection, when Jesus Christ returns, he brings all of heaven with him and makes new heaven and new earth, where God's throne will be on the earth, right? We'll get into all that. We're not getting into that right now. But just know that what God has called you to is better. Look at verse 14 and 15. "For people who speak thus make it clear they're seeking a homeland." They're seeking a homeland. If they'd been thinking that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. Beloved, this fallen world is not your home. Do you ever get that feeling? Do you ever just pick up a newspaper and say, "Man, this can't be all there is. I mean, there's got to be more to life." And I say to you, there is more. This is not how God originally created it. It's broken, it's corrupted, it's cursed by God because of sin. It's broken. But God is going to make all things new. But in that, notice this, guys. When you leave that homeland, right, you're seeking something. You're not even sure what it is. You're seeking something. And if this was it, then you just turn back and stay here. But if by faith you believe that what God has promised for you is better, then you never, ever turn back. Notice verse 16 here. "But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God's not ashamed to be called their God, for he's prepared for them a city." God is not ashamed, church, of those who long for their heavenly home more than their earthly home. In fact, you should. Yeah, it's good here. We want to be good citizens. We want to do all that we can and love our families and provide and do ministry and take as many to heaven with us. But we should hunger for heaven, long for heaven more than our earthly home. But the truth of the matter is that sometimes we're just okay with right here. Amen? I mean, if you can't say amen, say ouch. Because too often, guys, we're satisfied. I mean, yeah, God, heaven sounds good, but like when I'm 90 and life gets really hard then, right? Isn't that, don't we say things like that? I mean, gosh, I hope I go home to sleep someday, you know, and I live as long as I can, you know. Life's good around here. I kind of like it. You don't realize what you're missing. I don't realize what I'm missing, and I'm not saying we should hasten the day. I'm just saying we should long for the day when we see heaven. The promised land is a better land. Sin erased. Trouble erased. Disease erased. Death erased. Handicaps erased. Enmity erased. I could go on and on, guys. I could tell you about the streets of gold. We'll get to all that stuff. I'm just telling you today, guys, that heaven is a better place, and you should long to be there. You should set your sights for the promised land of heaven that God has prepared for you. There was this homeless man living in Santa Cruz de la Sierra, Bolivia. And he didn't know it, but he had an inheritance coming to him. He was living on the streets. He was a drug addict. He was an alcoholic. And one day, Tomas Martinez, who was 67 years old, saw the police coming toward him. And you know what he did? He ran like crazy. He got out of there. And the police never found him. But you know what the police were coming to tell him? He thought they were coming to arrest him for being an addict and then being an alcoholic. The police were coming to tell him that your ex-wife has died and she has left you $6 million. Some of you today are running from an inheritance. God is chasing after you, saying, wait, stop, come back. You don't know what I'm going to tell you. You want this, trust me, stop. Today's the day I pray that you stop running and receive the inheritance that Christ died to leave. Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and he stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what he has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins, turn from them, and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you, and I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.